From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, just blocks away from our state capitol, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. On today's show, we'll be talking about the biggest news from the U.S. Supreme Court in the case that was heard last week that could have major consequences for religious freedom, free speech, and women's equality. NFA's Executive Director Karen Bowling was on site at the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C. last week, and she will be with us to share her insight about what took place and the significance of this issue moving forward, which really boils down to, can the government legislate, either through the judicial branch or the legislative branch, what your beliefs about marriage, gender, and sexuality must be, and punish you if you disagree. Now, of course, it's not the role of government to pick winners and losers on the most controversial issues of our time and force people to adhere to a government-mandated orthodoxy, and it's wrong that our own government would punish people and destroy their livelihood for peacefully disagreeing about these controversial issues. But this is what we're facing, and it's not far off. In fact, it's already happening. We're seeing this happen both here and abroad. Just this last week, a Christian doctor of 30 years in the UK lost his job after refusing to use a transgender patient's preferred pronoun, and in turn, a British court in this case ruled that adhering to biblical beliefs is, quote, incompatible with human dignity. This is the story of Dr. David Makarith, a 56-year-old seasoned British doctor who lost his government job as a medical assessor after more than three decades because he declined to renounce his Christian belief that gender is determined at birth. Dr. Makarith was a National Health Service employee, and he was fired from his position at the Department of Work and Pensions last July because he would not use a transgender pronoun, saying he believes that gender is defined by biology and genetics, and that the Bible teaches us that God made humans male or female. And this past week, he lost his case before an employment tribunal in England, where the judge in this case ruled his beliefs were incompatible with human dignity. Dr. Makarith said that his supervisor pressured him to refer to a man 6 foot tall with a beard as she and Mrs., and when that request came, he refused to do so. And this story is disturbing and concerning for a number of reasons. The Telegraph reported that Dr. Makarith said he was removed from his position after his boss interrogated him. Again, he works for the government, so his supervisor is also a government employee, and they were interrogating him about his personal religious convictions. They also reported that Dr. Makarith told the court that his supervisor had asked him, again, if you have a man 6 foot tall with a beard who says he wants to be addressed as she and Mrs., would you do that? Dr. Makarith said because of his beliefs and convictions, he could not, and his job was subsequently terminated. So it wasn't even an actual person. It was a hypothetical scenario with a 6 foot tall biological male with a beard. And what's also concerning is the court's ruling. The judge actually wrote, quoting from this ruling, that belief in Genesis 1:27, lack of belief in transgenderism, and conscientious objection to transgenderism, in our judgment, are incompatible with human dignity and conflict with the fundamental rights of others, specifically here, transgender individuals. The court went on to add, insofar as those beliefs form part of his wider faith also does not satisfy the requirement of being worthy of respect in a democratic society. not incompatible with human dignity and not in conflict with the fundamental rights of others. I mean, that is painting with an extremely broad brush. That is a shot across the bow directly at Christianity, saying that his wider faith is incompatible with human dignity and is not worthy of respect in a democratic society. Thankfully, Dr. Makrith and his attorneys are not backing down, responding to this ruling by saying, "I am not alone in being deeply concerned by this outcome. Other staff, even those who do not share my Christian convictions, are also disturbed as they see their own freedom of thought and speech being undermined by the judge's ruling. No doctor or researcher or philosopher can demonstrate or prove that a person can change sex. Without intellectual and moral integrity, medicine cannot function, and my 30 years as a doctor are now considered irrelevant compared to the risk that someone else might be offended." And here's something else that Dr. Makrith and his attorneys made clear in this case, is that Dr. Makrith loves all of his patients, and he treats anyone that comes through his doors. He was gentle and kind and would have called a person by their chosen name, whatever that name might be. What he couldn't do was put on a medical form that a biological man is a biological woman or vice versa. In a statement about his plans to appeal this ruling, Dr. Makrith said, quote, "I believe that I have to appeal in order to fight for the freedom of Christians and any other National Health Service member of staff to speak the truth. If they cannot, then freedom of speech has died in this country with serious ramifications for the practice of medicine in the UK. This is an alarming story, but what people need to know and understand that this isn't isolated to the UK. This is happening here right now, and in a case that was argued before the United States Supreme Court last week, the Supreme Court is going to decide this very issue for the United States. And the impact of this decision could have far-reaching implications and ramifications for all Americans. This is the case of Harris Funeral Homes versus the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So a little bit of background. This case is about Harris Funeral Homes in Michigan and its owner, Tom Rost, who hired a male funeral director in 2007. At the time of the hire, that funeral director agreed to abide by the employee professional dress code and did so for 6 years. This dress code was, and policies were created to ensure that grieving families who Harris Funeral Homes was serving could focus on the healing process and not the funeral home or its employees. 6 years later, in 2013, that same funeral director handed Tom, his employer, a letter informing him that the funeral director intended to start dressing and presenting as a woman while interacting with grieving families at work. So after considering the needs of the funeral director, his other employees, and the people his funeral home serves, Tom concluded that he could not agree to the funeral director's plan, and they parted ways. This funeral director then filed a complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, which is an unelected federal agency, alleging that the funeral home had engaged in sex discrimination. Now the EEOC has filed a lawsuit against Harris Funeral Home seeking to redefine sex in federal employment law to mean transgender status, even though Harris's funeral home policies were in accord with federal law and industry standards. And while the federal government has since changed course under the Trump administration and agrees with Tom and Harris Funeral Homes, the ACLU and EEOC continue to push this lawsuit forward in an attempt to do in the courts what it has been unable to do in Congress. So why is this significant? Well, what a win at the Supreme Court would mean for Tom and Harris Funeral Homes is that unelected officials cannot redefine the law. Only Congress has that power. In other words, a win will protect our Constitution and the separation of powers that keeps our government in check and ensures that our God-given rights are protected. And on the other hand, if the Supreme Court rules against Tom and Harris Funeral Homes, a loss means there would be widespread consequences for everyone. including undermining equal opportunities for women, such as allowing men who say they are women to take women's athletic awards and scholarships. It would also jeopardize the dignity and privacy of women by forcing organizations and businesses to open locker rooms, restrooms, and showers to men who believe they are women. It could require doctors to participate in and employers to pay for hormone blockers or surgery to cosmetically change someone's body to appear as the opposite sex, which violates not only religious beliefs, but free speech beliefs as well. Because it would also compel professionals from all walks of life to refer to colleagues with pronouns and other sex-specific terms according to identity rather than biology. So there is a lot at stake in this case. Specifically, will the Supreme Court redefine sex to mean gender identity, which would have major ramifications, including for employers, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech, and create unfair situation for women and girls? And our very own executive director at Nebraska Family Alliance, Karen Bowling, was actually on site in Washington, D.C. at the Supreme Court earlier this week to participate in a rally and press conference in support of protecting the safety, privacy, and equal opportunity rights of women and girls. I spoke with Karen by phone while she was in D.C. to get her take on the significance of this case and what she took away from the experience, and here is our conversation. Joining me now is Karen Bowling, Executive Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, who is with us on the program from out in Washington, D.C. Karen, it's great to have you on the program to give your insight into this case and what things were like outside of the Supreme Court. So thank you for joining us on the program.
Nate, it is great to be with you today.
Karen, so you actually got to be there at the Supreme Court for a special rally and press conference on the steps outside of the Supreme Court to show our and many other support for not only the rule of law, but for women's equality, really. At first, can you just tell us, what was it like being there? What was the mood that morning? It seemed like things were quite tense, as I would imagine, and certainly was a newsworthy event.
It was something that I've really never experienced before, in that the rally was supposed to start at 9 a.m., and so I actually decided to go earlier just to, you know, find where we were meeting. And as I was getting closer, I noticed everything was blocked off. And so I spoke to a police officer and he said, we've cleared out everything two blocks from the court. There's been a bomb threat. And so everything is postponed. So it was interesting just even starting. And I knew that this was a very important case. The night before, I'd come early out to D.C. and I'd actually had prayer walked around the Supreme Court and spent some time praying. And there were people already gathering the evening before. And we're sleeping outside the Supreme Court all night in order to get a front eye view. So it finally, when there was an all clear and could come back, there were literally hundreds of people in front of the Supreme Court, both there in protesting for one side or the other. It's something that I've never quite experienced before, Nate.
And, you know, Karen, you actually got to speak at this rally and press conference at the Supreme Court. But at first, you know, there was a bomb threat that delayed this from happening.
That is correct. And so what was supposed to start at 9 probably didn't get started until about 10:30. All along, though, oral arguments have begun already inside the court. They didn't evacuate inside the courtroom, but everything outside of the courtroom had to be evacuated.
Well, it's just crazy. But certainly this is an issue of great importance and invokes strong passions on both sides. And thankfully, there was no serious threat or injuries or anything of that nature, but obviously concerning nonetheless. But Karen, could you share with us the message that you shared on the steps of the Supreme Court?
Well, one of the things that I expressed that I joined the rally because I wanted to be a voice and represent the thousands of hardworking Nebraskans that we represent, Nate, every day at the state capitol to advance family freedom and life. And Nebraska Family Alliance were a part of 23 other state family policy organizations and submitted a friend of the court brief to the U.S. Supreme Court in support of the Harris Funeral Home case. And Nate, you know, this case is very important because it's so much more than employment policy. This is about hardworking families caught in a cultural tsunami to redefine the meaning of sex. And I feel like it's important for us to be a voice that the bottom line really is small businesses all across America are really the engine, Nate, that drives our economic stability and the freedom of business owners to speak consistently with their conscience is essential, really, in what makes our nation thrive. And the second reason that I spoke to is redefining sex to mean gender identity. It harms women and girls. And I'm of the generation that we fought so girls could have basketball teams, so girls could be able to compete. And so for 50 years, women have fought really tirelessly to have equal representation on soccer fields or basketball courts or track fields. And so I was there today for any little girl that has the dream of running and getting a medal in the 100-meter dash and having those dreams come just really to a screeching halt because she may have to compete against a biological male who identifies as women. This is about equality for women.
You know, that's such an important point. As you were just talking about, this case would have very serious consequences for fairness and equal opportunity in sports for women and girls. And we think that girls deserve to be able to compete on a level playing field. Don't young girls deserve the same opportunity as boys to be able to excel and, as you mentioned, to really chase their dreams?
Absolutely chase their dreams. And what the court will decide, it can undermine 50 years of progress in women's athletics. And one of the things that I think is so important to recognize that one person's freedom should not hinge on someone else's beliefs about gender. We want freedom for all girls to be able to compete fairly in athletics. I mean, that's the beauty of America. And also, I think something else to consider is that schools with single-sex activities or private intimate facilities would no longer be protected under Title VII of the Education Amendments of 1972. In other words, we give access to biological males into biological female intimate spaces, bathrooms, showers, or maybe in overnight stays. I don't think that serves women and girls. We need to do better and protect our women and girls.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And certainly Americans should be able to rely on what the law says, not what we want it to say. And as you mentioned, redefining sex to mean gender identity creates chaos and is unfair to women and girls. And Karen, I understand you actually also got to meet the defendants in this case, the Christian business owners, Tom and Nancy Rost, who own Harris Funeral Homes. What was that experience like? What did you take away from getting to meet them?
You know, there are seasons in your life when you meet heroes and you know you've met a hero. And that's what I feel about Tom and Nancy. And so after oral arguments, I was able to debrief with a handful of people, and Tom and Nancy gathered with us. And as they came to the podium just to express their gratitude, Nate, both of them, their voices cracking as tears fell down their face. And the first thing they said was, thank you. Thank you for caring. Thank you for praying. We just want to serve people well, and we want to take care of families who are grieving at a time of loss, to be able to bury their moms and their dads and maybe their children. We never expected to be at the Supreme Court and to be able to have to justify why we want to operate a business consistent with our conscience and deeply held beliefs. It was humbling just to hear them and to see their courage on display. Because of their courage, it now makes me want to even be more courageous and stand for what I deeply believe.
Well, that's an important lesson and a good reminder for all of us, because there is so much at stake in our country right now, and certainly as we take a strong stand for biblical and foundational family values. And this case is bigger than just what one business as well, isn't it, Karen? There would be serious ramifications for religious freedom and free speech and business owners across the country.
There really would be. And, you know, Nate, even let's say ministries like here in Lincoln, you know, we have the People's City Mission, or in Omaha, the Open Door Mission. So ministries that protect, that are shelters, women's shelters, that's all at risk. That now you have to open the doors for a biological male to enter a women's shelter, who a woman's already experienced domestic abuse. Lord, you don't even know all that she's experienced. And now to say, come on in, that's not what we want as a society. Yes, everybody needs to be treated with dignity and respect, but we need to honor our biology. And you heard chants throughout the rally today, sex not gender, or my biology is not bigotry. You know how God has designed us. We've been fearfully and wonderfully made. So much is at risk with public accommodations, and we should honor how God's created one another.
Well, I think that's absolutely right. You know, one of the things that we always talk about and stress is that these different beliefs can be held simultaneously. We can treat every person with dignity and respect, and show kindness and love and acceptance. And we can also advocate and stand strongly for equal opportunities for women and bodily privacy rights in locker rooms and restrooms and shower areas, as well as maintaining the freedom of business owners and others to speak consistently with their conscience without being forced to violate their beliefs. And that's something that we believe in for all people. Isn't that true?
It certainly is. And we often talk about tolerance needs to be a two-way street. And in a pluralistic society, just even in the ideas of the marketplace, you need to have differing views. But in having differing views, you still can respect one another. And this case comes back to, once again, I stated it earlier, that one person's freedom should not hinge on someone else's belief about gender. We have to be able to respectfully disagree. That's all the beauty of public discourse, and tolerance is a two-way street.
Well, that's so important, and a great note for us to end on. So, Karen, thank you so much for making time to share your insight and your experience with us on Capital Connection. I'm sure it's been a long, busy, and stressful day, but we appreciate hearing your perspective and a firsthand account of what it was like at the Supreme Court, and we'll be glad to welcome you back in Nebraska soon.
Look forward to that, and may God shed his grace on America.
And if you would like more information on how you can help defend life and liberty and stand for truth in the public square, visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. NFA is proud to be the state affiliate of Focus on the Family and the largest pro-family organization in the state, boldly standing for family, freedom, and life, and equipping Christians with the knowledge, information, and arguments to make a difference in government and culture to ensure marriages and families thrive, life is cherished, and religious freedom is defended. That's all the time we have for this week. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Hoping you'll join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.